Now, on the first Monday of each month, WPR Director Mike Crane or Director of Content Mike Arnold joins the morning show or Central Time to share information about Wisconsin Public Radio and answer your questions. We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about programming or news coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio? What do you want to hear more or less of? And what do you want to know about WPR's budget, financial operations, or whatever else is on your mind about Wisconsin Public Radio? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. WPR Director Mike Crane is in the studio now. Mike, thanks for coming by.
Always good to be here.
Well, let's start with a story that public radio would rather not have happen, something that's been in the news. Allegations of sexual harassment by former NPR Senior Vice President for News Michael Oreskes during his time at NPR and previously during his tenure at the New York Times. We're going to listen to an interview in just a bit with NPR CEO Jarl Mohn in just a few minutes. But you're here at Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike. You're on the board of National Public Radio. Two different things, but related. But what was your reaction when you heard this story?
Heartbroken. These kinds of things shouldn't happen anywhere. And it's deeply disturbing for it to have happened at NPR, where we're a place with different values than that. And obviously, it's taken part in the news, in part because of the Harvey Weinstein thing and so on. It's a big deal in the news right now, but it should never happen at NPR or here.
Well, I mentioned an interview. I want to listen to NPR's Mary Louise Kelly talking to NPR's CEO Jarl Mohn. This is Wednesday of last week. He said that besides the one clear case they had dealt with, there were rumors of other incidents. No victims had come forward prior to the Washington Post story on this. Let's listen to a bit of that interview.
You said you can't act on rumors and gossip, but were you concerned that these accusations were creating a toxic environment in the newsroom?
Absolutely, of course. As bad as...
You know, Should that not prompt action then?
Well, it did. Ultimately, we informally were asking questions. Clearly, we didn't do everything we could because it didn't result in the right answer. But to suggest we were not doing anything or we were not acting appropriately is not, or that we were doing nothing is false.
Let me push you again then on what did push you to act and put Mike on leave as of last night and then ask for his resignation this morning. The Washington Post published his story. He was put on leave within a couple of hours. Was that because new information came to light, came
yes.
to you?
Yes.
But you can't elaborate on what that is.
I cannot.
Is. A new case? A new allegation?
New case.
Internal?
Yes.
Current employee?
Yes.
And we've been hearing reports of more allegations coming from within NPR, in addition to the ones that were originally from his time at the New York Times. So what do you think about the reaction from NPR's news department, that interview coverage by NPR media reporter David Folkenflik?
You know, it's one of the toughest possible things for a journalist to do, which is to report on their own institution. It's something we discuss here all the time because as people hear us talk about how we're a partnership of the Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, we have to report on ourselves in the sense of the institution we're part of all the time, and we think we do very well with it, and I think that NPR's news staff has done what they should do and what I would encourage our staff to do in the similar kinds of circumstances, which is do your job, and I know that that's exactly what they're doing.
And when it comes to sexual harassment policies here at Wisconsin Public Radio, what do we have?
We have, as you might expect, the similar policies to most any organization, which is that any kind of harassment is unacceptable. We have a variety of mechanisms for reporting it, including both internal mechanisms, whether it's the opportunity to report it to your supervisor, or if that doesn't feel good, you can report it to the HR department. Or if that doesn't feel good, there is an office outside of public broadcasting, but within the university, an office of equity and diversity that also can accept such concerns and complaints.
As a lot of organizations, media and otherwise, are seeing there's policy and then there's culture. Is there may be fine words on a piece of paper. Do people feel willing, like they're going to be listened to? Do you think there's a culture at Wisconsin Public Radio that would respect someone bringing these issues forward?
I believe that we strive for that culture, and we'll continue to redouble our efforts to do so. I think that broadly in our whole culture, one of the things we have to recognize is that issues of harassment often include a power differential. And so working together on ways that we can make sure that people feel safe in making those reports, whether it's through anonymity or people outside of the management circles, those sorts of things, that's really important to try to get to that point where this just can't happen in our workplace.
We're talking to Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's boss. He's in the studio with us for our monthly edition of Mondays with Mike, looking at a lot of things going on at Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll get to your calls in just a bit at 800-642-1234. Some big news here at the Ideas Network, Mike, when it comes to staffing changes, a notable absence in the room with us right now. Veronica Rickert, her last day, sadly, was last week.
Yeah, it's been a time of significant change within our group. Veronica's not retiring, unlike Kathleen Dunn or Joy Cardine, but she has moved on to what looks like a great opportunity for her, and we'll definitely miss her. One of the things that we've been doing for a long time, though, and I think this serves us well, is we've been working on developing new talent that backs up the wonderful folks that are on the air. And that's why, for instance, in the morning, we were able to move very quickly to having Kate Archer-Kent take over temporarily for the now generically named The Morning Show, as we move forward for doing a search to find a permanent replacement.
And I'm solo in here for the foreseeable future, but we're looking to bring some of those new voices on during the show. So watch this space on Central Time,
too. That's right.
And some new programming going on from a little bit from the outside of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, one of the things that happens always is the schedule changes, and sometimes it's because someone's left or there's maybe a neat new opportunity. And so Sundays at 11 o'clock here on the Ideas Network, we have a new show for us. It's been out for a while, called Bullseye. And it features interviews with authors and musicians and actors and others who share their creative process and projects. And it's something that if you love listening to the best of our knowledge, we think you'll really like Bullseye. Jesse Thorne, who's the host, is a super curious and interesting guy to hear from. And that's Sundays at 11 here on the Ideas Network.
We've got more programming news coming up, Mike, but I want to bring on some of our callers now. We've got Peter on the line in Stoughton. Peter, hi.
Speaking of programming, I'm wondering why between the Ideas Network and Classical Music Network, you play the same program four times a week.
So thank you for that question. One of the reasons, which it sounds like you're an exception to what seems to be a general rule for us, which is it sounds like you listen a really lot, which is terrific. But when we do our research about the crossover between the two networks listening, typically we see crossover of less than 30%, sometimes even 20% of the audience is crossing over between the two WPR networks. And in one case, in the case of our station in Milwaukee, we only have the Ideas Network. And so if there's crossover, it's with our friends literally across the breezeway at WUWM, which is not a Wisconsin Public Radio station.
So Peter is awesome because he listens a lot.
Yes, you are, Peter.
But he gets some repeats there.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that's, we talk about that a lot when we're doing these Mondays with Mike segments, that designing the radio station to reach the most people, have as much variety as possible, but make sure you've made effective use of the programs that you create. All of that are balanced in various ways. And I know one of the programs we repeat on both networks is To the Best of Our Knowledge. We think that's partly because it's such incredible programming that we'd like to expose it to more people. And other shows have been repeated over the years. We don't do this anymore, but we used to have a repeat of Car Talk because so many people enjoyed it. And we do a little of other things like that.
Thanks for that call, Peter. We have an email from Paul who says, I'm very disappointed that the Kathleen Dunn Show was not replaced with WPR-produced programming. It seems that listeners are slowly losing their voice on WPR. Listeners are losing their neighbors' perspectives, as well as more prominent Wisconsin voices. And the Wisconsin Idea is losing positions for learning and performing roles in program production.
Well, some of that isn't really true. There's tons of people here that are learning in various roles in production and stuff. Our staff is actually larger than it once was. And one of the reasons why we have backups is precisely because there is a team here that can do that. That said, I do understand the point. that Paul is saying. And, you know, there are capacity challenges as to how many things we can replace at once. And we had been listening for a while to the program 1A, which is now on in that afternoon slot and has very similar topic bases as the Kathleen Dunn Show had. And we thought, well, you know, if we can find a way to bring that program along someday, maybe we will. For people that have called this very same show or emailed us and asked a year or more ago, you know, why can't you have the Diane Rehm Show on? Because they hear that elsewhere. Well, 1A is actually the replacement for the Diane Rehm Show. And one of the things we were learning from our colleagues is that it was even more popular on their stations than Diane Rehm had been. You know, every we talked about Bullseye. Every program is up to evaluation, and we tend to be thoughtful in our taking time to do that. But we really value input like this for helping us make the long-term decisions.
It's Mondays with Mike. We're talking with WPR Director Mike Crane, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you like or love about Wisconsin Public Radio? What would you like to see change? Do you have questions about how things work here, how decisions are made? A particular decision. Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is Mondays with Mike. You can join in with your thoughts and questions on Wisconsin Public Radio at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. We've got Tony on the line in Appleton. Tony, hi.
Well, good afternoon. My question for the director is, during an election cycle, the Wisconsin Public Radio is fairly even-handed for the two major parties. But it's my contention that if you're able to qualify and be on the ballot, say the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, or whatever party, these people and their ideas, especially with this upcoming election next year for the governor and state senator, we ought to be able to hear from the other parties, say the Libertarians, the Greens, or whatever, and we don't hear that. And since you're advertising yourself as the Ideas Network, it would appear to me that you should cover the other ideas, short of somebody whose ideas are flat out dangerous or hostile or unhinged.
Gotcha, Tony. I want to get Mike in on this.
Sure. Tony, thanks for the comment. We actually share a value on that very much. And in fact, going back to the 1930s, we've been having political discussions in that season, and it is our policy to invite for statewide offices, which is what we cover most of all. It's our policy to invite anyone who's qualified for those statewide offices, including people from the Green Party or Libertarian Party or whatever. Sometimes they don't accept our invitations, but between the morning show and the afternoon Central Time show, we really do endeavor to make sure that they're all invited. And if they don't accept, we can't do much about that. But most do accept, and it is a part of our trying to help us all have the information we need to have a great democracy.
Tony, thanks a lot for that call. I want to look ahead now, Mike, at some upcoming special programming. We've got a few things going on. What is in the works, Mike?
Well, we've been actually, this is kind of in the works and wrapping up, which is the WPR Next latest program, which is called simply Beta. And as in, you know, you have a beta, meaning trying it out, is like in the computer world.
Beta
and so
testing.
On. Beta testing,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's a really interesting show that one of our most creative producers, who also works on To the Best of Our Knowledge, Doug Gordon, has worked on. And it has sort of cultural collisions. And he asked the question in the latest episode that I'm intrigued by. Are Americans living in a fantasy land? And so I encourage people, if you haven't had a chance to hear that on the radio, although we've, apropos of our earlier call,
repeated
that several times because we want a lot of people exposed to it. It's something you can still check out online and share your comments with us at WPR.org/next.
And then we've got a tribal histories series going on Mondays.
Yes, this is a series that our friends in public television down the hall had been working on for quite a while, and we've now adapted it for radio. And these are recordings and stories that are from natural settings in the regions that Native people have called home for centuries here in Wisconsin. Tribal members share their challenges and their triumphs and their time-honored traditions that have shaped their communities across the generations. Now, that's airing Monday nights through November 27th. That's at 8 o'clock here on the Ideas Network.
And then finally, for some special programming, our neighbors to the west in Minnesota have a show, Flyover, that's airing on Sunday afternoon.
Yes,
right?
Minnesota Public Radio has created this show. I actually contacted someone there and said, hey, wait a minute, you stole that name from us. Because we've thought for, they didn't really, but okay. We've thought for a long time.
Because they would.
Yes, they would.
Those Minnesotans. No, I'm just kidding. Minnesota.
No, they're
listeners.
Very nice. As I
we love you.
But
not your football team.
You got it. But anyway, the reason I said that is that we've talked for a long time about the fact that in Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, we do feel like we're in flyover country, and that we hear in the news all the time a lot more from the coasts, and we'd like to hear more from our part of the country. And so that's the basic premise of the show. It's been a while since we've had a live call-in show on a Sunday, and so it's kind of nice to have that. And that's 3 p.m. through the end of the month on Sundays. It's live and weekly, and it focuses on issues of American identity and the changing American dream, and especially how it affects us here in the center part of the country, what we call flyover country.
It's Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane, director of WPR, is in the studio, among other things, taking your questions. Back to your calls now. Jake is on the line in Wisconsin Dells. Jake, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering if there was any thoughts on bringing the 10 radio hour back to the air, or maybe moving, to the best of our knowledge, back up to an earlier spot in the evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Jake, for the call. We didn't find that people were loving the TED Radio Hour, and so that's why we changed it. Sometimes it is a scheduling issue, like you don't realize it, but you've put a show on at the wrong time. So no current plans to make that change, but we have, in the case of To the Best of Our Knowledge, moved it to a couple of different slots over time, trying to find that sweet spot where people are going to find it and maybe nothing else on the radio that's so good, and so they'll stay tuned. Thanks for the suggestion.
And we have an email. Thank you for that call. Paulette emails, what happened to milk? I think that's the Milk Street Kitchen, which took the place of America's Test Kitchen on Sunday morning at 10. The programming on Sunday morning now is irrelevant, not especially interesting. Even reruns of Car Talk were at least funny. Don't we still have that there?
I thought we did, and so I don't know if it was the wrong schedule. I know what it was. It was that we've been running those beta and Entertain Us for a couple
the
of
WPR
weeks.
WPR Next.
Yes, so shows. Milk will be back. This is one of the real challenges, right? Anytime you want to share something new on the radio, you're taking something else off, and I guess I'd say that I'm glad Paulette noticed, and I'm glad also to be able to say Milk is coming back.
We'll go back to our callers now. Deborah is on the line in Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
Hi. If Paulette gets an older car, she might find Car Talk relevant. But, I just spent 18 days in northern Michigan, and in Marquette, where my hometown, there is nothing like you have here, and I absolutely love public radio here, and it's been my education for the past 20 years. But I called the station manager at Northern Michigan University, a public radio station in Marquette, and he had never heard of The Moth or what was the other one? It was The Moth and
Science Friday was in the notes.
Science
for the
Friday,
yeah.
Yep. And I'm like, I was literally in shock. I thought, oh, please introduce this to your students and to the public. I wait for that every Friday. And so I just want to say two thumbs up. Anything that is people disagree with, they need to take a trip north and then they'll come back.
Well, Deborah, thanks a lot for the call. And no disrespect to the public radio there. A lot of places have just one public radio network. We've got two, so we've got a lot more opportunities to do cool stuff for you.
We do. And quite honestly, if we had the resources, we could do a third or even a fourth public radio station. But that is right that, for instance, we maybe don't realize this in Wisconsin, but there is nothing else like the Ideas Network anywhere. A station that devotes this much time to the kind of public radio, thoughtful, insightful talk that we have on our station. It's unique. Very few things are actually unique. The Ideas Network is, and people go south and feel the same way about what they find when they go south.
And that's why you should pledge right now. Sorry. My training just kicks in there every time. I want to, got a lot more. How about Thanksgiving specials, Mike? We got a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving is always so much fun on the radio. I hope people put us on while they're making the turkey and while they're...
They can get some help while they're making the turkey.
That's right. You know, that we have that turkey confidential on Thanksgiving always. And we were talking about milk before. So the first thing at 10 in the morning is going to be a Thanksgiving edition of Milk Street Radio.
Great.
Then at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk turkey with that turkey confidential from the Splendid Table.
And they will give you practical hands-on advice. This is a lifesaver for a lot of people on Thanksgiving.
Like, what do I do? It's like, it's not thawing.
It's on fire. It's on fire.
That's right.
Hopefully not that bad.
Yeah, and be really careful if you're frying the turkey, please. I've seen things.
Or the turducken.
Yes. And then finally at 1 o'clock, we've had this as a long-time tradition with the best of the best from the Third Coast Audio Festival. And this is their 17th annual radio documentary competition. This comes out of Chicago, but is an international competition. And so it's something different than you'll hear on the radio most days. And we think you'll really enjoy it. So instead of watching the football game, put on the radio.
Or do both. People can reach us at the Ideas Network Facebook page. There's lots of ways to reach us, but this is kind of new.
Mm-hmm. The Ideas Network Facebook page, we're trying to collect all the different show contacts and so on to one big place so you can be sure to find us. So it's facebook.com/The Ideas Network. And so we hope you'll like us there. We know you like us listening to the radio. It'd be a big help to do that as well.
Mike, thanks a lot for coming by.
It's great to be here.
That's WPR Director Mike Crane. He joined us for Mondays with Mike on Central Time. He and Mike Arnold, the other Mike, split their time between us and the morning show. You can catch one of them on the air Monday, December 4th for all your programming needs.